Jeremy, I got some bad news for you. If it started in 30, wait till you get 60. And if I was to sing to my wife in the bed, she'd get up and go in another room with the kids. My subject matter is pastoring your city. A couple years ago, I was asked to speak at a civic gathering. I can't see you out there, so I don't know where you're at. They asked me to talk about my tenure. I've been in Corinth going on 33 years now. And they wanted to, the guy briefed me before I went up on the stage. He said, I want you to give us a few points or reasons why you've been able to stay at one church so long. And so it was kind of like on spur of the moment deal. So when I got up there, I said, well, I'll give you three reasons. And newspaper was there, and maybe some of them's taking notes, I don't know. But I said, the first thing is I go to Little League baseball games. The second thing, I go to funeral homes and make hospital calls. And the third thing is that I try to teach this to our people, and they do the same thing. And I think they were so empty because they was looking for three, nuggets of why or how does it work. But that was the truth. I threw out one of the high moments. I threw out a pitch at a baseball game one time. A little bitty kid's out there. One of my boys was out there, and I enjoyed that so much, being with them and praying at a ball game and stuff. You say, well, that's so simple. Well, the reason is that in Corinth, we have less than 15,000 people there. We have 14,930 at the last census. And so when Pastor Phil says something about going in, when you go into a restaurant, you're going to know usually the cook. Maybe I baptized her son in the city jail one time. You're going to know the people because it's just a small knit loving town. It really is. But I was thinking about my subject matter for this, and it really is not relevant to some of you because, like Pastor Jabbo is one of my heroes. Pastors in there in spring at one time, of course, James there now, Tom, over 60 plus thousand people there in the greater Monroe area. And then I was thinking about Mark here. I didn't realize Shreveport was so large. Over 300,000 people with the Twin Cities here. So the things that I do in Corinth would not be relevant to them. Tupelo, Tommy's got twice the population we got there. And I think I saw Matthew earlier today. And he's down in Boonville. I'm a little bit bigger than him, But my point is this, is that the things that we do in Corinth, again, I've been there in January, 33 years. But I was born and reared in this church. This is my home church. I was dedicated to the Lord, baptized there. Had a little brief sabbatical in my teen years. But this is really the only church I've been. Well, that's okay. They call it backsliding, all right? this was my life. And I'll just give you this, and then I've got to get to my subject. I remember they came and asked me, would I be interested in pastoring the church? Brother Bennett resigned, and so they had a real strong board, and the board said, all right, we want to talk to you. We'll talk salary. And they said, would you be interested in pastors? I said, "Foot? No, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of." And I meant it, really. I didn't care about being a pastor. I wanted to love the people, and that's what they asked. Well, can you love us? And I said, well, you don't have to pay me to love you. Because that was my family. That's my church. These people helped me become something in my life. And I thank God for that. But anyway, here's what I was praying about. What can I say that would be relevant to a community of 300 plus thousand people? Or over in Victoria, there where Bobby's at. And I think it's something like 70,000 there. What would be relevant to Don Moore over in Fort Smith? What can do, and I really believe God breathed something into my heart. So with the next, Jeremy went 4 minutes over, so with the next about 8 minutes, I want to share something with you. If I'm going to be successful, or if you're going to be successful in pastoring your community, the first thing you've got to be successful at in pastoring is pastoring yourself. I have a wonderful staff that's here with me. Brother Eddie has been with me. Brother Donnie has been with me nearly the entire length of my time. They know me. They know more about me than I would like for them to know. But they have found, and I have found, the hardest person that I've ever had to pastor is me. Because in the morning when I get up, I have to look at that critter. I know his thoughts, and I know what his intentions were. I have to pastor myself and live within my means financially. And when I go into the community and the banker sees me or the teller sees me, they know what kind of life I'm living. Pastoring me, disciplining what I watch on TV when nobody else is around or what I listen to. Because, you know, it's easy for me to preach it to you, but sometimes living it with me, it's a lot harder. Can you say amen? Being transparent and being authentic and living what I preached on Sunday, living it Monday and Tuesday on down the road. You see, my friend, I've learned over the years, the toughest person is not that drug head or that woman that had an abortion or that family that is split off or another. The toughest person, my number one area that I have to deal with is me, because until I get me right, I can't get the second part right. And let me tell you about the second part, right, because they're the ones that live in my home. They're the ones that call me dad and call me Honey Bunch. They're the ones that know me better than any of you, because they saw me under the pressure. They saw me in the actions and the reactions. They heard what I preached, but then they saw what I was doing here and there. Are you with me? You see, till I get number one right, I can't even begin to make a headway with number two. My family is going to be as authentic as Daddy is. And they're going to be as real as I am. And you know, pastors, again, I have nothing to win out of this. Just tell you my heart. I see some of the situations that we go through together. And just remember this, when you call, we go through it together. It's not just you on a solo. But sometimes we want to try to fix number two, when really the Lord is trying to help us to fix number one. And that's to get ourselves under the spout where the glory comes out. And I believe in worship. I thank God for Jeremy's words, but I also believe in intercessory prayer. I believe in brokenness. You know, I heard a man preaching the other day about, we've got to get prayer back in schools. We've got to do this and we've got to march this. And you know, I'm for that. But I believe we've got to get prayer back in the church. Back in our homes. Back in our closets. Because, you know, there's no substitute for my friend for spending that time with God. Well, I'm getting a sermon ready. No. God sometimes wants us to just spend time with Him for me. Because He realizes the toughest person I'm going to ever pastor is myself. And, you know, the blessing of taking care of number one is that I can reach out to Aaron and I can say, hey, look, Aaron, you know better than that. Jared. And those kids growing up, I will tell you this. I wish I had taken a picture of it Sunday. I was getting ready to go up on the platform, and I looked back in the front row. There was Jared, and then there was Barbie, and then there was Aaron. Second service, I looked around. Barbie's upstairs doing Discover Crossroads. Jared's leading, doing small groups. And Aaron's out there working the ushers, making sure they're doing right, you know. You know, the fact of the matter is, the reward of pastoring myself is being able to see the fruit of being able to pastor your children. I thought you were talking about the community. My friend, the community is not going to give you even a second look until they see it in you and they see it in your families. My. I thank God for being reared in Corinth, Mississippi. It's to some of you, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But to me, I my hat's off to you. I could not pastor where I have to use this thing to find out where I'm going, you know. That little lady and I, we'd have a divorce, I can tell you that right now. And I just don't see, you know, I when I walk into a restaurant, I'm like, hey, Joe, give me the regular, you know, and I you couldn't even go to all the restaurants in this place. I mean, and so the fact of, the fact of the matter is this, is that you have to do it in your community the way that God has given it to you. There is one last thing I want to share with you, and that is about a man that struggled with this, but then he conquered it. His name is David. You know, David did a lot in his community. He was the king and all this, but if you'll think back, David had to pastor number one. He had some problems with number one, didn't he? He had problems with his eyes, the folks he was listening to. Until he could conquer those things, David was not going to be the man of God that God intended for him to be. Matter of fact, David did have problems with his children. And you know the stories, and I won't take the time to rehearse that to you. But David's life caused some situations to develop. And it was something that I have prayed. Let me tell you this. When I hear another pastor's child is in trouble, or I hear, I can't pass that along. I can't pass it on. I can't call Brian. I said, did you hear about this and about that? I can't do it because I have to consider myself. It could be me. It could be my son. It could be my daughter. I can't rejoice in seeing someone else's trouble, my friend, because it could be me. And when I hear people laugh or say something about someone else's bad situation, it sends chill bumps up and down my spine, because I know without the grace of God, it could have been my son. It could have been my daughter. You understand where I'm going. Well, David had a situation, and he made some bad, bad decisions, and he didn't do a good job pastoring himself at first. The children come along, and they had their situations, and they had their challenges. But I want you to know something. David did get it together. He spent time. He was a worshiper, Jeremy. He was a man after God's heart. He was a man that, even spite of himself, he found that place to spend time with the Lord, and it was a beautiful thing. But I want you to see the result of a person who will go back. And when you go home this weekend, say, okay, God, let's look at this. Let's examine myself. Let's make sure everything is going the way that you want it to go with me. Not my people, you know, not everybody else, and not what's happening in Searcy, or what's happening over in Tupelo, or what's happening down in West Monroe. But what's happening here with me? David had to do that, but I want you to see the reward of it. And I read this scripture to you, and I'm closing with this. And we'll get the next one. Brian, get ready. You're going to follow me, buddy. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 5. You know about David pastoring, or being the king there in Jerusalem. But it says in verse 7, David captured the fortress of Zion. It was his place. This is where he set up tents, where he conquered the area. But then it says, which is now called the City of David. Mark, my prayer for you is that Bossier City, as large as it is, one day the people will call it the City of Mark, the City of Tom, the city of the Greens. And Jabbo, you're about as close to that as anybody I know, huh, buddy? And you passed the baton well. But if we will do what needs to be done, the people, we don't have to go around proclaiming and put in our cards and our billboards. The people will say, this is the city where these guys pastored. My hat's off to you. You know something? We did this in 2 minutes, okay? That means absolutely nothing in Corinth, but under my pastor here, it means everything. You can't just do this with you and your family. It has to be in your church family. And one of the things that I've seen our church family, they have bought into this understanding that we're not here going out and just getting help. Give me, give me, give me. We're selling this. We have to turn our hands over. And we have to invest and instill something into the people. And the people will respect that. David gave to the people, and the people gave back to David the honor. But here's the thing I want. I was looking the other day, and I saw where Barak and Cassandra and them were painting Cersei blue. I got so excited about that, because one of the things that our church has really found to be have skin in the game, and that is to go out and serve the community. We call it love first. And the people would go out, and we painted the, I didn't, I was riding around with the mayor. The mayor wanted to see what was going on. And they were painting the baseball fields, and they were planting shrubbery, and they were going here and there, just out working, having a good time. I saw Barak, and I saw his children, some of his church family out there painting Cersei blue. I saw John and them on this Friday where they're loving. And I hear about some of your other stories, how you're going out. My friend, that is the way that one day people are going to come up and say, hey, you know, Bossier City, that's where Mark Briggs, that's where the Briggs family, that's where the Green family, that's where the Lowe's and Preacher Trina. That's where they abide. All of that. God bless you. Listen, I'm still trying to get it figured out myself, but I am telling you this. I'm trying to take care of number one here, Pastor Him, the family's following along in the church. I pray the same thing for you, okay? God bless you.